Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to Irene Efren Podcast with me, Irene Efren. I interview women around Southeast Asia to bring their unique stories and experiences to empower other women in this region. For the first episode, COVID Hoax and Hopes, I am happy to be interviewing Anna Meliana, a scientist at Protea. Protea is the biggest and most advanced diagnostic lab in Indonesia. It has 300 outlets all around the country, and Anna is a scientific assistant for the chairman at the company. Hi Anna, what were your main responsibilities before COVID?
Hi Irene, as a lot of people know that Protea is a diagnostic lab, but not many people knows that Protea collaborate with so many universities. We also assist and perform a lot of research, especially in clinical trials and human studies. So my responsibility is a lot about assisting this research, especially about the clinical studies registration and the publication. Also, in some but not all studies, I assist in designing the studies.
What was it like when you first started to hear about COVID? I ask this because in Indonesia, there were several months in which the government denied that the virus has entered the country.
Yeah, we first hear the news about this virus, maybe about early in January. But we never thought that this virus will be a worldwide disaster until about March. The WHO stated this is the worldwide pandemic. On April, I have a small conversation with the health minister, but our country still believe that Indonesian people is strong enough with their own immunity, so we don't have to be very worried about this disease. As also we know that viral infection is a self-limited disease, so you just have to rely on your immunity response and everything will be okay. However, this is a new thing. Not only Indonesia, but everybody don't know the behavior of this virus, what we have to do. Thankfully, after almost a year, so many studies have been developed and we now knew the virus a little bit closer. And we have some strategies, although they are not perfected yet.
Okay, and we want to hear about that later, right? But before we go to that, can you tell a little bit about your responsibilities now after there's COVID?
Since COVID, all the budget and all institution focusing their studies on COVID matter. So before COVID, I perform many studies on obesity, nutrition, anti-aging, etc., etc. But now, together with Universitas Pajajaran, we try to develop two clinical studies. One about the COVID treatment using quina, quinine sulfate, and another one is using some essential oil mixture but for adjuvant. Adjuvant is not the main treatment, but it helps to boost the immunity and lower the inflammation happen in people who are in COVID with moderate until severe symptoms. The interim study showed benefit for this essential oil. The study has been registered in the clinicaltrials.gov, and we really expected this essential oil could give hope because essential oil is widely used already and safe.
That's very interesting. Did you say what oils these were or that was still being experimented?
Actually, the oil could be found in some marketplace, but they are just selling the oil. So here we want to perform the clinical studies to validate the benefit of this essential oil to be a real adjuvant therapy and not just hoax therapy. As many, many regimen, especially in Indonesia, arise from coconut oil and kaju putih oil and everything. But they are not proven already by enough data. So please, please be cautious about information you received.
Right. But so about the essential oil testings that you're doing, is it validated yet or no?
We are ongoing.
Okay. Okay. I see. All right. So at the moment, are you in contact with COVID patients? And if you are, what precautions is the company taking?
Thankfully not, because I'm based in the main office, but in the branches office, of course, the company have the procedure. All staffs who are indirect contact with the patient, especially for the COVID-19 testing, we provide the personal protective equipment for them, and all the employee who are in touch or not with the patient have a regular COVID-19 testing every 2 until 3 weeks.
I see. Okay. How does this affect your personal or social life? Like, what happens when you go home after work?
We take bath a lot. Maybe about 2 or 3. That's why I cut my hair to make it simple.
Anna, can you tell us a little bit about the COVID situation around the globe? Update as of now, we're almost at the end of 2020.
As data per November 18th, Indonesia have a 3.2% rate of death, while the worldwide is 2.4. So I think it's just a little bit higher from the worldwide rate. What I mean is Indonesia is not very good or very bad, because as I said earlier, this is a new thing. Nobody really know who is COVID-19 virus and what we really have to do with it. A lot of speculation arised about what happened if we have found the vaccine, if we have found the perfect regimen to heal. As per now, from what I read, the virus never mutate significantly, because we have not find the perfect vaccine and medicine. Yeah, but once we have it, the virus itself have to be survived. So it maybe will mutate into a worse one. But we don't have to worry, as long as the worldwide scientists prepare from now.
I see. So you're saying that the vaccines that's being prepared might also cause the virus to mutate further.
Yes.
Okay, I see. All right. So, you know, I'm hearing claims from certain hospitals, and this is in Indonesia, that none of their patients have died from COVID. Is that possible, or is this just a scam from hospitals?
Yeah, the death rate is low.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the death arise when the subject, if the person have the comorbidities.
Okay, yeah. And is that, what does that mean? Is that pre-existing condition?
Yes, okay. Maybe he has diabetes.
Okay.
Yeah. In some cases, but very rare, people can die from COVID itself. But usually, especially in Indonesia, it is because they have no ventilator.
Mm.
Yeah, that's okay. The most cause of the death in Indonesia.
So it's because the hospitals are not well equipped with ventilators.
Yeah. That's why what I want to say to people here in Indonesia, you maybe believe in your immunity, but you don't know if you transfer the infection mm-hmm. into others who has no strong immunity.
Right.
And mm-hmm. if you say, let it be herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people infected is good
mm-hmm.
because then that people will be immune.
Okay.
But how could you be so sure that the number of infected people could be handled well in the hospital?
Right.
Because hospital has limited facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Why we have to lock ourselves in our home, don't make ourselves in the crowd?
Mm-hmm.
Because some people said it will longer this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If everybody infected at the same time, in a month the infection will be over. Yeah, over with your life maybe.
yeah well, that's a lot of weird thinking, I think, right, going on, and probably not just in Indonesia but also globally around a lot of weird perceptions about COVID.
But I think psychologically people has been bored with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
People has been too long
mm-hmm.
locked in their home, cannot do any activity, and the economy get worse, and they don't want to care about COVID anymore.
Right. But I mean, the reality of the situation is still there. So how long do you think that will carry on? How long do you think this situation will carry on?
Yeah, the good news is from 150 vaccines developed,
mm-hmm.
I heard some of them, but maybe just 2 or 3, have proven for their safety and effectivity. We hope that by the mid-2022,
mm-hmm.
the vaccine can be released.
Mid-2022, that's almost a year and a half from now.
2021, sorry.
Oh, okay, all right.
But the next problem is, although the vaccine has been found, but they cannot produce enough for the worldwide. So we still have to wait maybe a year.
So then maybe it will be mid-2022,
yeah.
Right? For worldwide consumption. Oh, no. Okay.
Indonesia has also developed our vaccine.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully it's better for Indonesian.
Okay.
But I don't know, maybe 1 year
mm-hmm.
or 1 year and a half to be finished the study
and distributed to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, so I guess we have to really be prepared for that longer game, right?
Yeah.
Longer term.
And make your strategy, how to live your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly right. Let's talk a little bit about rapid tests. How do they work, and are they actually accurate? And what about swab tests?
There are actually 3 types of tests for the COVID. The first one is rapid. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's rapid.
Okay.
If you need something fast, you can do it.
Okay.
But it's not really accurate.
All right.
Maybe different brand have different accuracy.
Okay.
About 60% until 80%, but mm-hmm. some brand only 35%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The second one is swab test.
All right.
In Indonesia, maybe it will take 2 until 7 days to get the result. That is the most accurate, but mm-hmm. take longer time.
Right.
So in Prodia, we have the third one called serology test.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the result after 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But the serology test, it will show positive result after 2 until 7 days you in contact with the virus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not very rapid,
mm-hmm.
but it has 90% of accuracy.
Okay.
Yeah. In my opinion, you perform the serology test.
Mm-hmm.
If you have negative result, you repeat it after 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you have positive results,
mm-hmm.
it means you were in contact maybe mm-hmm. 2 or about 2 days before. Mm-hmm. However, all tests have to be confirmed with the swab test.
Oh, okay, I see.
About the result interpretation, if your serology test is positive and your swab test is positive, means you were in infection. But if the serology test positive but your swab test after the confirmation is negative, mm-hmm. it means the infection has already passed, because the serology, it will be positive after detecting your antibody to the virus.
Okay.
Yeah, means you have the antibody now.
Right, okay. Which means I'm immune.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And that's a good news for you.
Not that I had that test. Okay, all right. Well, thanks for that information. So when this is over, probably by mid-2022, what do you think will stay with us? How do you think all of this will affect our lifestyle and habits in the future?
Yeah, we have been adapted to the new lifestyle even since now.
Mm-hmm.
New profession were arised, new way of living, new way of working, new way of schooling. And the pandemic, however, accelerated technology development and mm-hmm. forced people to more aware about technology.
Mm-hmm.
Even my mom.
How old is your mom?
67.
Okay.
Yeah. And however, we have easier networking around the world.
Mm-hmm.
In the scientific field, before pandemic, you have to go abroad to have mm-hmm. scientific seminar or
conference.
Fellowship.
Yeah.
But now I can attend 3 different scientific in different country just from my room.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good thing from this pandemic. But mm-hmm. of course, we hope this pandemic will be over soon.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much, Anna, for enlightening us with your expertise and your scientific knowledge on COVID hoax and hopes. And that was her unique story and experience. If you would like to share your voice with me, contact me at irineefferin.com. That's AirineEfferin.com. Subscribe for more courageous voices from women all around Southeast Asia.